Sure glad we can still pray through, amen. I'm glad that I'm not a Buddhist this morning. Seemed kind of senseless to pray to a God that's dead, wouldn't it? I'm glad when I pray I've got a God who hears. Not only does He hear, but He cares, amen. Thank God. Thank you, Brother Todd. I appreciate that good singing, kids. That was mighty good. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 9 with me this morning. Matthew chapter number 9. We started Sunday before last talking about our missions program in our church. We are a church that supports worldwide missions. Somebody said, what is that? Well, we give money every month, or some of us every week, out of our finances, over and above our normal tithes. We give an offering toward our missionaries, and we have missionaries all over the world who are preaching the gospel this morning, just like we are, to see people saved. Amen. Now, that is not something that the Baptist Church cooked up. Do you understand that? That's not something that we invented and somebody said, hey, I think it'd be a good idea if we'd send people out all over the world, help support them, help to get them there, help to support their families so that they can preach the gospel. That wasn't my idea. That wasn't the church's idea. That was the Lord's idea. Amen. The last thing the Lord said before He left the earth, matter of fact, it was right before His ascension into heaven, He told His disciples to go to all the world and preach the gospel. He told them to take the gospel to the world. And if you'll follow through the book of Acts, I've been listening for a couple of weeks to Brother Randy Pike teaching on the book of Acts. And what Brother Randy said is, did they do what they were told to do? Yes they did. Yes. They took the gospel to the known world. Amen. Is missions important? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But a lot of times I'm afraid because it is out of sight, we don't see it. It gets out of mind. That's why we have Brother Charles read a letter from one of our missionaries every Sunday night, just to keep us in mind that we have people all over the world who are preaching the gospel to sinners who will die and go to hell without Christ. Amen? But Sunday before last, I wasn't in here. I was in junior church last Sunday. But Sunday before last, I started with the mandate behind missions. In other words, the command to go. That's what the Lord said, go. He said, I'm going to heaven, you go into all the world. He said, I'm going to ascend to the Father and make intercession for you. And while I'm intercession for you, you go to the world and tell them what I have done for you. Amen. There was a command. There's a command. There's just a few commands that the Lord gave us. Amen. There are some things that I think are optional. Would you agree to that? Some things are optional. Everybody don't have to teach Sunday school class. Everybody doesn't have to run a bus route. Is that right? But I believe everybody's got to believe in, pray for, and the best of their ability help to support missions. Amen. We hadn't said anything about missions in quite a while, and the Lord used me to go to Memphis a few weeks ago and preach a missions conference, and the Lord burdened my heart about our missions. Now this morning, I want to talk about, we talked about the mandate behind missions. I want to talk about the motive behind missions. The motive behind missions. You know, if you do anything, there's got to be a motivating factor. Yes, sir. Amen. When a football coach goes in at halftime and his team's down by two touchdowns and he gets them in that locker room, you know what he does? You ever notice, I love to watch Georgia play ball, and it wasn't all that fun to watch them this year, but I enjoy watching them play ball. But I've noticed time after time after time, after Coach Mark Richt leads that team back out on the field after halftime, they seem like a different ball team. I'd like to be a fly on the wall inside that locker room and hear what is said to re-motivate those guys to go out there and win that ball game. Amen. He fires that bunch up. Over these last few weeks and over this, maybe last Sunday will be the last, I want to re-motivate you toward missions. I want to get you excited about having a part in seeing people saved. One of my favorite things to do when missionaries come, I love it when they have a video presentation. It gives me a visual of what I'm taking part in. I actually see the people praying. I actually see the people singing and praising the Lord whose lives have been changed by the love of God. Amen? Amen. You know what that does? It motivates me. Every time we have a missionary come, Brother Freddie wants to go to the mission field. I think if we're right with God, there'll be a little something stirring every one of us. Amen. Every time they come, Brother Freddie, boy, it just tears him up. Amen. It ought to tear us up. And what God's doing, he's just burdening his heart for sinners all over the world. Amen. Most Baptists don't care about their neighbor across the street. Amen. That's the truth. But people are dying and going to hell all over the world. I want us to look at Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36. Talking about the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Bible said when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. That word moved carries the same meaning as motivated. He was motivated, I'm not changing the Bible, but he was motivated with compassion. What he saw stirred him. What he saw stirred him. Did you know that everything you do in life has a motivating force behind it? Are you listening to me? Think about it. You ever think about why you come to church? Something motivates you. It's a good motivation or bad motivation. Something motivated you to get up and get ready and come this morning. You ever wonder what motivates you to teach a Sunday school class? Do you realize we can do things with the wrong motive? And if our motives aren't right, it will not last. We may try it out for a while, but if we're not doing it for the right reason, we won't keep doing it. Amen. You know, some people, I've watched over the years couples get together, men and women, and they say they're in love, but they're not. They're really in lust. Wrong motive. Are we okay this morning? Y'all wake up. We'll be all right. Wrong motive. Lust is not the motive behind a successful home. The right motive behind a successful home is love. It's not lust. We can have the wrong motive. Amen. You ever wonder what drives you to do what you do, work a bus route if you do, witness if you ever do? There's something that motivates you. Let me give you something you'll all understand. What motivates you to eat? Hunger. Hunger motivates you to eat. Y'all didn't have no trouble getting motivated around that big smoker yesterday, did you? Amen. You didn't have no trouble getting motivated. And listen, by the looks of you, some of you got a lot of motivation. Amen. Motivated to eat. What motivates me is hunger. My belly says I'm hungry. Feed me. We need something that will motivate us to get behind this missions program. And if we write a little check every week or every month and we give to Faith Promise Missions, there's got to be something to motivate us to do that. Amen. And we want to get that motivation right in my heart. I want to do it for the right reason. Amen. There's several reasons that I do it, and we're going to talk about them this morning. But one of the reasons is I'm your leader. One of the reasons is I'm your leader, and I want to set the right example for you. How could I dare get up here and preach about worldwide missions and supporting missionaries if I didn't do it myself? Amen. How dare me get up here and preach about tithing and supporting your church if I didn't do that myself? Amen. So I want to be a good leader. Amen. And that's what Jesus was doing the whole time with his disciples. He was setting before them an example of what to do after he left.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So that they would have the right motivation when they stepped in to preach on the day of Pentecost. So they would have the right motivation when Paul went to Antioch and when Paul went to Philippi and Paul went to Corinth and all these places where he traveled in his missionary journeys. There had to be a right motivation behind that. Now that thought this morning, just for a few minutes, let's think about this. Have you ever wondered what motivated Jesus Christ to do what he did? We sing about Calvary, we talk about Calvary, we sing about the blood, we sing about salvation and being saved, we sing about all those things, we sing about the empty tomb and the fact that he arose, but do you ever think and stop and wonder what pushed him, what drove him? The Bible said he set his face like a flint toward Calvary. He said several times, I believe it was three times, he said the Son of Man must suffer. He came to die. That was the game plan when he left heaven, was to come and shed his blood for me and you. Do you ever wonder what motivated him to do that?
Come on, preacher.
I get motivated to do a lot of things. I might get, my wife and I are going to Australia in May, and we're going to get to preach a little bit, and then we're going out and we're going to see the Great Barrier Reef. I'm going to put on goggles and a mask and a snorkel, and I'm going to swim on that thing. That thing motivates me. It's beautiful. I want to see it. Amen. I'm motivated to do a lot of things. But do you know what? I've never been motivated to be beaten. I've never been motivated to be beaten. I've never been motivated to suffer. I've never been motivated to die. I've certainly never been motivated to hang on a cross and give my life for somebody else. Now, I've never had that desire or that urge, but Jesus did.
Yes.
Jesus had that desire. What would motivate him to be falsely accused? What would motivate him to be led to a place called Gabbatha and be stripped of his clothes, tied to a rock, and beaten with a cat of nine tails like he was till his insides literally hung from his back? What would motivate him to do such a thing? What would motivate him to allow them to plait a crown of thorns and put it on his head and beat it down into his brow with a reed? I used to have a piece of those thorns that came from over there in the Holy Land. They're about that long.
Yes.
It's not like briars we get out here when we're rabbit hunting. I mean, they're that big. And they said that when those things are green, and they had to be green or they couldn't have twisted them up and made a crown out of, when they put them down on his head, there's only about that much skin between your scalp and your skull. And as soon as those soft thorns would hit the skull, they would come right back out. They said he probably had thorns coming out of his eyeballs and out of his cheekbones. And man, I'm telling you, what would motivate him to allow that thing to be done? You say, well, he didn't have no choice. Sure he did. Sure he did. Sure he did. All he had to do was speak it. Honestly, I don't even think he had to speak it. I think all he had to do was think it. He had thousands and thousands of angels at his beckoning call. They were probably leaning over the banister rails of heaven saying, come on, just think it. We'll wipe that crowd out with one blow. We'll murder the whole lot for what they're doing for you. There was probably some inward conversation going on between the Father and the Son that we may not even know about. What motivated him to allow them to drive spikes through his hands and his feet, put him on a cross and hang him naked for the world to see? There's only one thing I can come up with. For God so loved the world.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. I've spent so many times in hospitals watching loved ones take care of someone who was dying. I've seen children, I'll leave the room, but I've been where children change the diapers of the elderly.
Yeah.
You say, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't do that. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. If you love your mama, you would.
Yes,
if you love your daddy, you would. Hey, man, that's a motivating force. There is only one thing that would cause you to do that, and that's love for a fellow human being or love for a relative or a loved one. Your love for them would motivate you to do something that normally you would not do. Man, the Bible says greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the ultimate sacrifice. That is the ultimate motivating force in the world right there.
Amen.
Man, love is an amazing thing. Now, I'm not talking about the love that this world talks about.
That's right.
That junk ain't love.
Right.
That junk ain't love. I forget which one of them actresses it is. I'm guilty as you are, come through the checkout line and you got to read that stupid paper.
Yeah.
You got to read that stupid paper, man. I mean, some of that stuff is a joke. I mean, it's a joke. One of them, I can't remember who it is, that blonde-headed girl, maybe it's Jennifer Aniston, is that her name? It just seemed like every time I see that paper, I'm like, well, who's that fella? You know, it was somebody else last time.
Yeah.
That ain't love, man. That ain't love. You know what love does? Love endures things.
That's right.
Love suffers things. Love makes it through the hard times. Love makes it through the dark days. And the darkest day this world has ever known was the day that Jesus gave his life at Calvary. And not only was it a dark day of spiritually, but it was a dark day physically. God literally shut the lights out. It was a dark day. He didn't have to go all the way, but he did. He did. I don't know if anybody's told you lately, but God loves you. Amen. God loves you. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God loves you. He loves you. I mean, man, you ought to just look at your neighbor right now and say, hey, I don't know if you know or not, but God loves me. God loves me. You ever had anybody say, I hate your guts? You ever had anybody tell you that? Man, I have. I've had people say, man, I hate you. So what? God loves me. And he's a whole lot better off than you are.
Yes,
he's a whole lot bigger than you are. He's a whole lot more powerful than you are. He's a whole lot prettier than you are. He's a whole lot greater than you are. Hey, we ought to get happy about the fact that God does love us.
Amen.
You think about where you'd be this morning if God didn't love you.
Amen.
You'd be frying like chicken in the grease at Kentucky Fried. In the pit of hell if God didn't love you this morning. Amen. If it wasn't for the love of God, you'd be burning in the pits of hell this morning.
Yes, sir.
No doubt about it. You say, well, not me. I've always been a good person. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. I'm supposed to be preaching on missions, but I think somebody needs to get saved this morning.
The
Bible said there's none good, no, not one. You know what that makes you? You know what it makes me? That makes us sinners. What is sin? It's transgressing against God's law.
Amen.
So I ain't never broke none of God's laws. You ever read the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
By the way, they're not suggestions, they're commandments.
Amen.
That one little bitty one gets me. Thou shalt not lie. How did I say that?
Bear false witness,
yeah. Man. I'm done. I'm done. That makes me a sinner.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know if we got any Catholic friends here this morning. If we do, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but the Pope's a sinner too.
Yeah. Amen.
The Pope's a sinner too.
Yes, amen.
For all have sinned,
yes, sir,
and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ went to Calvary sinless. The only thing that could pay the price for our sin was something that was sinless.
Yes.
Something that was perfect, something that was holy, and something that was pure. And he did it because he loves you.
Amen,
the pride and the prize of his creation is man. Amen.
Amen.
But because sin entered into the world, Jesus had to leave heaven and come to earth.
Amen.
Let me say it again this morning. He loves you.
Yes, sir.
He loves you. And there is nobody in heaven and an earth that wants you to be saved more than he does.
That's right.
Amen. So I just don't know if I can do it. All you got to do is ask.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I don't know if I can live it. Won't you ask first and then see how it goes?
That's right.
Amen. Won't you ask first and see how it goes? Now let's look at what motivated the Lord this morning. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know if you died right now, heaven would be your home. Please get that settled before you walk out these doors today. I'm not trying to get you to join this church. I'm not trying to get you to give money. I'm not like a televangelist. I don't give a good rip. I mean, I know if you give, the Lord will bless you, but that ain't my motive this morning. My motive is that when I get to heaven, I see your face.
Amen.
That's my motive this morning.
Amen.
Let's look at some of these things this verse said. The Bible said that they were scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad. He was moved with compassion because they were scattered abroad. In other words, I think what he saw when he saw the world, when he saw these great crowds of people, he saw them in their departure from God. Did you know that it had been, before Jesus came on the scene in his early years, God had been silent for 400 years? Wasn't it 400? 400 years, God had been silent. Nobody had heard anything from heaven in 400 years. They were just godless.
Come on,
amen. And it broke his heart and it motivated him to go on to Calvary and to do something about it. They were godless. When he saw that crowd, you know what he said? These people need me. These people need God the Father. These people need God the Holy Ghost. They have departed from God. They have become to a godless situation.
Yes, sir.
You know what we've got in America this morning? In many cases, we've got a godless situation. Our courthouses may bear the words "In God we trust," but it's a lie. Our money may bear the words "In God we trust," but it's the farthest thing in the world from the truth. America's not trusting in God. America's trusting in bailouts. Amen. I'm a little upset. I didn't get none. Amen. Man, our trust's not in God. America is farther away from God right now, this morning, than she's ever been.
Amen.
And by the way, we're doing pretty good comparatively to some of these other countries. Are y'all listening to me this morning? The situation they were in was a situation that they had moved away from what was right. They had moved away from what was right. I've heard Brother Randy tell the stories. Man, some of the most exciting stories I've ever heard have been from missionaries.
Yeah.
Man, I could sit and talk with Brother Randy Pike, or not talk, listen to Brother Randy Pike for hours on end. Some of that stuff he talks about would blow old Spielberg's mind down there in Hollywood. Stuff that really happened. And if I didn't know him as well as I know him, I'd thought, yeah, man, that ain't true. He talked about being in the jungles of southern Africa and those witch doctors and summoning those demons and all that stuff and people floating up off the ground. And I'm like, wow. Man, that just sounds unreal, doesn't it? What is that? That's a godless situation. That's a place where somebody is in rule, but it's not the Lord. It's Satan himself. We okay this morning? He saw their departure from God. He said, something's got to happen. Something's got to take place to start drawing these people back to myself, to start drawing these people back to heavenly things instead of earthly things. And something's got to get these people's minds on what is right and what is holy.
Amen.
That's what motivated him. He saw their situation. You know what? He knows your situation this morning.
Amen,
brother. You say, I'm tired of everybody judging you. We ain't judging you around here. We ain't judging you around here. We don't care where you come from.
Right.
We don't care what color you are. We don't care what your background is. We ain't judging you.
Amen.
Why? Because we pretty sorry ourselves.
Yes, amen.
We just wicked old sinners ourselves.
Yes, amen.
Thank God I'm a wicked old sinner saved by grace.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
amen. He saw their departure from God. I think he meant the same thing when he said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I am come. That was his purpose. Jesus left heaven for salvation's sake.
That's right.
Amen.
No other reason.
Amen.
He left heaven for salvation's sake. Did you know people still die without God go to hell? Listen, I am for UNICEF. I'm for feeding hungry children.
Yes.
I'm for that.
Yes.
I'm for clothing naked children in Haiti.
Yes.
I'm for rebuilding homes. I'm for food shelters. I'm for sending medical missionaries. I'm for all that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So please don't take this statement wrong. Food, clothing, medicine, education is not the right motivating factor. What good is it if we go to Haiti? What good is it if we go to Africa? What good is it if we go to Australia? What good is it if we go to Cambodia? What good is it if we go to Korea? What good is it if we go to Papua New Guinea and educate everybody there? I'm talking about doctorate degrees. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? What if we clothed everybody that needed clothes all over the world? What if we could do that? I'm for it. I'd do it. What if we could feed everybody this morning who's hungry?
Yes. Amen.
Some of y'all think you got it rough.
Yeah.
I wish you could talk to some of these missionaries I know. I know places right now where people are literally starving to death. We say it all the time, I'm starving to death. No, you're not. I don't think there's nobody here this morning ever been that hungry. We got it pretty good. If we could feed them all this morning, if we could educate them all, if we could clothe them all, and then they die and go to hell, what good? What a waste. What a waste of education. What a waste of clothing. What a waste of food. What a waste of all the medicine. What a waste of all of that if they die without God. He saw their departure from God. He said they're scattered abroad. They're running to and fro. They're chasing after this God. They're chasing after that God. They're worshiping idols. They're sacrificing children to alligators. They're doing all these crazy, wicked things. We've got to get them back to what is right. He saw their departure from God. Secondly, the Bible said, because they fainted. Because they fainted. I believe he not only saw their departure from God, I believe he saw their depravity in sin. Their depravity in sin. I wonder what God thinks when he looks at America this morning. I don't think he meant their mere physical exhaustion. I don't think he said, oh, these people are tired. No. I think he was making note of their spiritual weakness.
Amen.
I'm glad the Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Grace, thank God for His grace. You say, boy, if I'm a sinner, what hope have I got? There's grace. He saw the condition of the world. Hey, listen, we went to the mall yesterday. Oh, no, don't ever do that on Saturday. It's bad. But my deal when I go to the mall, I watch people. I can't help it. I do. I'll sit on one of them benches and just watch. There's some weird people down there at the mall. There really is. There is some weird people. I've told y'all about the time me and Sister Angie was at the mall and we seen these, what do they call them, gothic? Look like they dead. That's what they look like. Got black lipstick on, their skin's all pale and white, and fingernails painted black and all that. Had all black clothes. We saw this boy leading this little teenage girl around with a leash and a collar around her neck. Katie saw a girl yesterday. I probably shouldn't even tell it. Katie came over to where I was in another store, and she come in and said, Daddy, you ain't gonna believe it. I saw my first prostitute. I said, wow, Katie, that's a great accomplishment. Woo, you have just stepped up a notch. But they saw this girl who was very, very, very lewdly dressed in the mall. Prancing her stuff, buddy. And Katie couldn't help it. When she saw her, she went, and the girl went, flipped her hair like that. You see some weird things at the mall. Amen. Well, what we ought to see is people who need God. What we ought to see, instead of looking in judgment, we ought to look with a broken heart and say, hey, what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. All they need is the love of God. That boy, how many of you daddies would like to walk through the mall and see some boy leading your daughter around by a leash? I'd beat you till the smoke alarm went off. I thought I was going to get an amen out of Chase over there, amen. Well, it ought to break our hearts. It breaks our hearts when we see the hungry kids in Haiti. It breaks our hearts when we see the starving children in Ethiopia and all those things. Does it break your heart when you see right here in our town? Oh, they got clothes on. They got food in their belly. They're in school, but they don't have God. He's the only antidote for sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He saw their departure from God. He saw their depravity in sin, and I believe he saw their destiny in hell.
Yes, sir.
He saw their destiny in hell. Do you know before we ever get motivated to support missions, to keep missionaries on the field, if we're ever going to get motivated to do that, hell has got to get real to us. Listen to me carefully. I believe saved people need to hear preaching on hell as much as lost people. Can I say that again? I believe saved people. You say, I'm saved, preacher. I don't need to hear a message on hell. Yes, you do, because it'll motivate you to know that if your loved ones die without Christ, they'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever. Hey, and those people you pass on the streets, you meet in the grocery store, you meet down at the mall, those people you even point your finger at and make fun of, they die without God, they'll burn in hell. We was in a shoe store, the one upstairs in the mall, shoe department, is that it? Maybe shoe something, it was a shoe store. We was in there looking, and I thought this man and woman come down the aisle with me, but it was a woman and a woman. A shim and a her, I don't know. My first reaction was, let me get, boy, God said, all they need is me. I've changed worse than that. All they need is me. If they die like they are, they'll burn in hell.
That's right, brother.
That motivated the Lord.
Yes, sir, brother.
That motivated the Lord to go to Calvary and do what he did. He saw their departure from God, their depravity and sin. He saw their destiny in hell. Does hell still scare you? Does hell still scare you? Even though you're saved, does it still bother you? We live in a society where the most famous, I wouldn't say the greatest, but the most famous preachers in America won't even use the word. They won't even say it. Why? They don't want to scare you. You wouldn't believe how many times we've had parents call whose kids rode the buses to church mad because we scared their kids. Do you go fuss at the children's church workers? I go tell them, good job.
Amen, preacher.
Good job.
Yes, sir, brother.
Brother Earl came to me, my pastor, years ago. I'd preached in junior church that morning. He came up on, he came off the platform on Sunday night and put his arm around me. He said, good job this morning. I said, how you know you wasn't out there? He said, I got a phone call from a mad parent today. He said, you scared their kid. He said, that's how I know you did a good job. Amen. I know we need to handle children a little differently.
Amen.
We're not stupid, but hell ought to scare us.
That's right.
If there's not a hell, let's pack our bags and go to the house.
That's right.
If there's not a hell, hey, let's load up the boat. Let's fill up the tackle box. Let's go to the lake and let's fish with the world.
On,
if hell's not real, let's close the doors of this thing. Let's sell off this property and buy a bunch of hunting land. Amen. If hell's not real, let's just forget the whole business. Let's close the Bible Institute. Let's park these buses. Let's turn them into campers or something. Amen. Where we can get some use out of. But there is a place called hell. Just as sure as I'm breathing this morning, hell is real. And it ought to get a grip of our hearts and a grip of our lives. Let me tell you something. Anybody in here has been saved, ever been saved, hell had something to do with it. Some of you old-timers, it's been around a while. You're thinking right now, I remember when preachers used to preach like that all the time. I wonder if you flip through all the inspirational networks on the televisions this morning, how many preachers you would hear talking about hell. Not one. Not one. And they have an audience with the world. I would hate to be in Joel Osteen's shoes. There, I said it. He won't say hell. He won't even say sin. That's out of his own mouth. Y'all all right? He's preaching to 50,000 people in person.
Yeah, come on now.
No telling at the millions by way of television. And doesn't love them enough to tell them. Wrong motivation. Selling books to tell you how to feel better about yourself is the wrong motivation. So I'm offended this morning. I am too. I'm offended that he has such a great opportunity and won't use it. I'm offended that all these guys have all this popularity and they've got the nation watching them on Sunday morning instead of going to the house of God, and they won't even tell them.
Yes, sir.
If they die without Christ, they'll spend forever and ever in the lake of fire. He saw their destiny in hell. I don't preach enough on hell. Y'all all right? Boy, it got quiet in here. Let me ask you a question. This is probably really going to rub you raw. But have you ever had a loved one? Grandmother, granddaddy, cousin, aunt, uncle, whatever. Or a student. Somebody. It seemed like when I was in high school, somebody got killed out of our class every year. You ever wonder, where are they? Several years ago when we were still in our old building in Dallas, a boy got killed in Paulding County High School. They had his funeral. I better not say where because we're on the radio. They had his funeral. I don't know how many people were there. The sanctuary was full. There were people standing all along the walls in the vestibule. The basement of the place was full. They was watching it on closed circuit television. Paulding County High School was at that funeral. You know what that guy said about salvation? Nothing. Nothing. Not one time did he tell them. When Jesus left here, the commandment was go preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Why? Because he saw their departure from God, their depravity and sin, their destiny in hell. And he saw their despair without a shepherd. He saw their despair without a shepherd. He said they're just wandering to and fro, nobody to lead them. Nobody to lead them. Why does those people in the jungles of Africa, why are they worshiping pagan gods? Why would they feed a newborn baby to an alligator? Because ain't nobody told them no different. Ain't nobody told them no different. Why would a poor fella over in Iraq this morning with a turban on his head and a machine gun in his hand and a bomb strapped to his body, why would he blow up an American soldier for the cause of his God? Somebody ain't told him no different. Somebody ain't told him no different. Let's get a little closer to home. Why would somebody crawl in the closet, look through a little window and confess their sins to a man? Why would somebody consider the Mother Mary their go-between with God? Maybe somebody ain't told them no different. Maybe somebody hasn't told them any different. You said, preacher, how dare you talk about these other people? They got thousands of people in their churches and you've got few. Listen to me. We're living in an age where people would rather believe a lie than to hear the truth. That's a fact. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. Jesus Christ did not institute one program before he left here.
Amen.
He didn't start a Feed the Hungry program. He fed the hungry.
Yes, he did.
He raised the dead. But he didn't start a healing ministry before he left here.
Amen.
You know what he started? He started a church.
Yes.
And he set that church up. Brother Carl preached about it Friday night. He set that church up and he gave it what he called a pastor. And he gave that pastor some instruction. What was that instruction? Preach to them Jesus.
Amen.
Crucified, buried, and risen again. Our motive behind missions has got to be love. If we're going to get the message to the world, we got to love the world just like Christ did.
Amen.
Listen to me. I know where I'm at. I know I'm on the buckle of the Bible belt. But you got to get that color stuff out of your head. It's got to go, friend. How are you going to feel good about sending a check to Africa when you can't stand black people? Roll that up in your rebel flag and smoke it. Amen. Hey, I'm Southern born, Southern bred, and I die, I'll be Southern dead. God didn't die for me because of what color I am. He didn't die for me because of what part of the country that I lived in. He didn't say, for God so loved Georgia. I think he might like it a little better, but I'm not. He didn't say, for God so loved the state of Georgia. He didn't say, for God so loved the South. He said the world.
Yes.
The world. Somebody said, preacher, why do you preach up north all the time? They love it. You know what they'll do? They'll hear the gospel and they'll respond to it. You've heard it so much. Don't affect you no more. We got to get past all this racism. We got to get all past all this we're better than somebody else. No, you ain't.
That's right.
If you're saved this morning, it's just by the grace of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The only difference between you and the vilest offender on death row this morning is God's grace.
Amen.
You have the capacity to do anything or everything they've done.
Yes, sir.
Oh, not me. Oh, yes, you. Tell me your mind couldn't snap.
Yes, sir.
And you'd be the next Ted Bundy. Don't hand me that stuff. It's a fact.
Come on, brother. Yes.
It's God's grace that keeps us.
That's right.
Let's stand to our feet. I got to shut up. Let's get our motivation right. Hey, instead of staying so mad at these bus kids, why don't you just love them?
Amen.
Come on, just love them.
Amen.
Why don't you try stopping out in the parking lot some Sunday sale and grabbing one of them little young and say, hey, I love you. Amen. Love will motivate you. Love will motivate you.
Amen.
To give. Listen, you fall in love with God, you automatically going to fall in love with sinners.
Yes, sir.
Amen. While they're getting us a song, if we could, let's just bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody here today that just be honest with God and honest with yourself. You say, Brother Eddie, I don't know if I died right now. I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I could really know, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Preacher, would you pray for me? If you slip up your hand, I promise you I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just won't pray for you. You say, Preacher, I'm not sure. If I died today, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Preacher, I'm a little confused and I really don't know what's right. Pray for me. Preacher, I'm saved. I know I am. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Pray I'd get my motivation right. Pray I'd get a burden again for lost people, even my family, my friends. And beyond that, the world, preacher, pray. Just slip your hand up. Oh, it'll be all of us. God help us. Let's pray together this morning, Father, as we come to you this morning again in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to support somebody we'll never even meet till we get to heaven. Lord, to support a work where people are being saved that Lord, we might not even know about till we get to heaven. Lord, thank you for letting us be a little part of it. And Lord, I pray, God, that over these next few weeks you'd help us to do a better job at it. And Lord, you've seen every hand this morning that was raised. You know every heart. Don't let anybody leave here today without you. Father, please, God, give us a greater burden and a greater vision for this missions program. Lord, help us to not only pray for it, but Lord, to support it. And God, I know some of our people are out of the jobs, and Lord, they're doing all they can. Well, Lord, I pray you'd bless them with that so they can do more. Well, Lord, you just have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you. We'll give you glory for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.